Hi, welcome to First Press Church Podcast. At the end of this message, please take a moment to subscribe to this podcast channel or our YouTube channel for the latest Sunday messages. We're so glad to have you be a part of our worship from afar. It is our prayer that this message will ignite a fire in your spirit for a closer walk with God.
Amen. Good morning. Happy Easter. We've got this saying that we say where Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. He's risen indeed. It's a joy to see you here worshiping the Lord and giving glory to him today. He's present to us. Christ has come, Christ has died, and Christ is risen from the dead. And by his Spirit, he's present with us. If you open your heart to him, you'll know it, you'll feel it. He inhabits the praises of his people. So we've been studying John chapter 11. We read John chapter 20 earlier. I'm going to read to you from John chapter 11, verses 38 to 44. I encourage you to read along on the screens in front of you and listen for what God is speaking to you today. And as we open the scriptures, let's open our hearts to the Lord in prayer. Lord, thank you for the glory this morning, the power of it. And I just pray, Jesus, that you would, by your mercy, pour out your Holy Spirit on this place. We don't want to look at a page full of information, Jesus. We want, we long, we need to hear from you words of grace and truth that bring life. Be present to us. In Jesus' name, the church said, amen. Amen. John 11 at verse 38. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Yeah, Lazarus's tomb. Unbind him. My family and I lived in Charlottesville, Virginia for a while, and we lived in a kind of a small house with a growing family. And so we were always doing these home improvement projects, trying to turn a hallway into a closet or a closet into a hallway or a bathroom into whatever. And we were just always at work. And my mom came out to visit, as she would often do. And she remembers a weekend where she came and we had this nice visit. We sat on Saturday morning, had pancakes with the kids. And the way she tells it is I ate like my last bite of pancake. And then I put down my fork. Without a word, got up from the table, grabbed a sledgehammer, and slammed it into the wall right next to where she was sitting. Whoa, what's going on here? You know, she thought I'd finally lost it. But I guess I had failed to brief her on the day's home improvement plans. Because we were going to pull a wall out, get rid of that wall. So here I'm whacking away at this wall, and she says, are you sure that's not structural? Pretty sure. But my mom, she went home and she said later on, she said, you know, I got home to my own house and I just looked at the walls differently. Like, do you really need to be there? Or can we let you go? She looked at permanent things differently. What's more permanent than the tomb? We're looking at the tomb. We're looking at two tombs, actually. Usually at Easter, you just get one tomb. But for you today, two tombs, a twofer, the tomb of Lazarus and the tomb of Jesus, and they're related. In fact, some say that one caused the other. Some say that because Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he became so popular that the religious leaders got nervous, and so they had the Romans crucify Jesus and lay him down in his tomb, that the tomb of Lazarus actually caused the tomb of Jesus. Well, Lazarus was in the tomb. Lazarus was a friend of Jesus who got sick and died. And he was laid in the tomb, dead and buried. He wasn't almost dead. He wasn't mostly dead. He wasn't even recently dead. He was 4 days dead and rotting in the tomb when Jesus said, "Lazarus, come out." And he did. And then it's just a little while later that it's Jesus who's laid in the tomb. He's the one bound up. He's the one lying in the cold stone. He's the one with the stone rolled over the face of it. And the Father and the Spirit, they say, "Jesus, come out." And he did. And now we just don't look at tombs the same way anymore. See, that's the claim of Easter. The claim that Easter makes, the reason why Christians are gathering, is that because of what Jesus did, death itself looks different. Death itself is different. Yeah, we're talking about tombs. We're looking at death. You know, Easter is a lot more than fuzzy bunnies and Easter eggs, you guys. Easter is life and death, death and life hanging in the balance. And what has God done? The claim of Easter is that because of what Jesus did, we look at death different. Death itself looks different. Death is something we all face, whatever age you are. Death is something that we all have to contend with, to wrestle with in some way. Even as you're young, in your young years of life, in your beginning years of life, it's something that you've got to wrestle with. If you don't look at it directly, it slips in from the side. And sometimes it just comes over you, this sort of shadow of anxiety. Am I getting the most out of life? Am I getting every drip out of life? Am I making the most of everything because my days seem to be just passing by? That, you know what that is? That's not just fear of missing out. That's death whispering in your ear, "Your day is coming too." We've all got to deal with it in one way or another. And the claim of Easter is that we can look at it different. See, it's mortality casts a shadow over all of our lives, no matter how old you are, no matter what stage you are. Mortality casts a shadow over all of our lives. Death is certain. Or is it? That's the question. Does Jesus have a different answer to give? Does Jesus have something else to say than the ways that we're dealing with our mortality in life in this earth? Does Jesus have a voice to offer? Does he have authority to speak to the tomb, to look down into the tomb and say, "Come out," and make death itself move in reverse? Does Jesus have the authority to call eternal life out of death? Does he have a different kind of a voice to say to death itself, "Unbind him and let him go"? Does Jesus have the authority to do it? Or doesn't he? What do you believe? It's Easter morning. What happened on Easter morning? Jesus rose from the grave. John 20, verse 1. Mary Magdalene went to the tomb while it was still dark. Now on the first day of the week, she came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. She suspected grave robbers. But when Peter and John came running to see what was going on, a little bit further down the passage on verse 5, and stooping in to look in, this is what they saw. He saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. See, all the stuff, the cloths that they had used to wrap up Jesus' body after he had died on the cross on Good Friday, after he was crucified, they took his body, they wrapped up his body, and they laid him in that tomb quickly. And all that stuff was still there. Now, that's weird, because a grave robber would not have taken all that stuff off and then taken the body and then carefully folded all of that material back up and left it in the... Well, that's weird. There were three things: a shroud, like a big linen cloth that you just fold the body up in, like the shroud of Turin, just this big linen shroud, a shroud. And there were bandages, linen straps, like ace bandages that they wrapped them up like a mummy. And there was a napkin, a face cloth that they would put over the face. Jesus was free of all that stuff. Somehow he left it all behind. And he was free of the tomb. And he was free of death itself. Because what all of them said was, we saw him again. We saw him alive after he had been dead. In fact, we sat with him. We ate with him. For over a month, we saw him. If you can believe that. But see, it wasn't that long before all that happened that all these same people were standing at a different tomb. They were standing at the tomb of Lazarus. They were standing where Lazarus was dead and buried and behind a rock. And he was wrapped up and lying dead. And Jesus was standing there saying, listen, if you guys believe in me, if you believe me, if you trust me, if you put your trust and your faith in me, you're going to see something. You're going to see something. Now, if you don't put your faith in me, all this could happen and you don't really see or understand a thing. But if you trust in me, you will see the glory of God, he said. This is what he said to Martha, verse 40 of John 11. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you, Martha, that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, thank you that you've heard me, and then a little further on down. And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice. All right, some of you were here for training on this last week. He cried out with a loud voice. You're going to cry out with a loud voice. Ready? He cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And he did. The man who was dead came out. But he was still wrapped up in all that stuff. He still had all those grave clothes all wrapped up around him, the shroud and the straps and the napkin, the veil. And so what did Jesus say? He said, unbind him. The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Unbind him. Take that stuff off. So what do you think they did? Martha and Mary and Peter and John and Thomas. Thomas was there. All these folks that were there. What do you think they did? Out comes, can you imagine this? Out comes Lazarus wrapped up in all this jazz. You know? What do you think they did? Push him back in there and slam the door shut like a mummy had come out? You know? No, this isn't Scooby-Doo, okay? What did they do? They unbound him. I mean, they reached out and they started taking that stuff off. They pulled it off. They opened up that stuff. They unbound him. They did it like it was Christmas morning. Like, get that stuff off of him. Why? Because this is the joy. This is the celebration. I'm receiving Lazarus back. It's him. I have my brother back who was dead. I have my friend back who was dead. I have him back. I've received Lazarus back. And they're just taking this stuff off like Christmas morning. It's the joy of the community of faith receiving the lost once again. It's like the father at the end of the parable of the prodigal son where he said, we had to slaughter the calf. We had to celebrate. We had to hold the biggest party this house has ever known. Why? Because my son was dead and he is alive again. Now, he wasn't physically dead. He just was lost. This is the joy, the celebration of the people of God when the lost come home. When someone has been so far from God, they've gone so far from the things of God, they've walked so deeply into the shadows and the darkness, they've chosen time and time again to go the dark way, to turn their back to God, and now they're so far from God that you and I and everyone around them believes, oh, they're too far to know Jesus. They're too far away. They would never turn to God. They're lost now. They're gone now. They're lost. And then something happens. And Jesus moves. Jesus shows up. And somebody says, I think there's hope for you. I think there's life for you. And someone tells them about Jesus. And by the Spirit of God, something starts to happen in their heart that you would never have imagined. Something starts to happen where They come to themselves. They realize where they are. The spell is broken. They see dark for dark, light for light, and something in the power and the love and mercy of Jesus causes them to turn, and they start to come into the light again, into the light of Jesus Christ, and they come home. The one who is lost is found. The one who is dead walks into his marvelous light of life. It happens. It happens. And what does the church do? What do the people of God do when that happens? We celebrate. Never has there been a party like this party. We celebrate. The lost has come home. The dead one is alive again. Lazarus has come home. Listen, maybe you know somebody like that. Maybe you've been in that place before. But maybe that's you sitting here right now. And you've come into Easter. For whatever reason, you're sitting here right now. And if you did an honest assessment of yourself, you think, you know what, I have. I've turned from God. I've wandered far away from the Lord. My life is more dark and confused than lit up and at peace. And you need to turn. You need to pivot. You need to wake up. Let God break that spell and turn again. You need to hear the voice of Jesus saying, come out, come to me and live. There's new life in Christ. Today's the day. What did they do? They took that stuff off of him. Why? Because Jesus wanted that stuff off of him. Jesus didn't want that stuff wrapping him up around. Jesus wants that stuff off of you too. Lazarus came out of the grave, but he still had his grave clothes on. Charles Spurgeon said, the man was wholly raised, but not wholly freed. It's time to get that stuff off. Some people say Christianity, I would never think about being a Christian. That's just a straitjacket. That's just something that binds you up. Why then is Jesus the one who is stepping forward and saying, unbind him, let him go, let her go? Christianity is a free new life. Three things Jesus wants to remove. The napkin over the face, the straps wrapping around, and the shroud. Get that stuff off. Three things. The napkin, okay? The napkin hangs over the face. You can't see. It's a veil. Lazarus came out. He couldn't see. So I want to ask you, can you see? Can you see the things of Jesus? Can you see the spiritual things of life? Can you see? Can you see? Can you sense God? The veil that lies over the face, it darkens us from seeing the things of God. Isaiah years ago said that veil is death. Death is a veil that lies over your face that only the Messiah can remove. Here's what he said, Isaiah 25. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. What are you wrapped up in that's obscuring your vision of God? What is blocking your vision of Jesus? You need to get through that veil. Listen, you need to see more of Jesus. The Word of God is not just an old book. This is God's voice, and God speaks in it and through it, and he speaks to you. Pick up the Bible and learn a little bit more about Jesus. Take off that veil and see a little bit more about Christ in the Scriptures. Let somebody show you something about Jesus. In his word, not by rumor or anecdote or what you've heard along the way, learn who Jesus is. Let God speak to you. Take the veil off, the napkin, the straps. The straps. Where are you all strapped up, all bound up? Where are you tied? Tied to the past. Listen, Christianity, most of this is about forgiveness. This is forgiveness, what Jesus wants. The straps that tie us to the past are our mistakes and our failures and the things that we regret, the ways we've hurt ourselves and hurt others, the ways we've turned away from the Lord. Are you so bound to your past that you can't walk into the future? Listen to me. Jesus says, unbind him. Take that off. Take that off. Jesus came and he died for our sins so that we could know forgiveness, that we could walk forward in life, that we could be forgiven. Take that off. Some of you, the straps that are tying you down, it's not so much what you've done as some of those straps of things that have been done to you. You need to find a way to take those straps off. Forgiveness. Find forgiveness and move on. There is more freedom in Jesus Christ than you've imagined. Take off the straps and the shroud. The shroud. Are you haunted by death? If not by death, by that fear of missing out, by that anxiety of making the most out of life, is death kind of haunting you? Listen, I don't come here this morning acting like the shroud is just some linen cloth that's going to blow off in the breeze. The shroud of death is heavy. Some in our church have lost their, I know a man who lost his wife this year. Many have lost their spouse. I know people in this church that have lost their children this year, lost a child. The shroud of death, it's heavy. I think about the church Covenant Pres gathered in Nashville trying to worship today, right? The shroud of death is heavy. But what I want you to know this morning is that Jesus has the power to lift that shroud. He says, look, I'm going to remove the shroud of death and mortality. I'm going to tell you that this life is beautiful. However long you have to live this life, whether it's 5 years or 50 or 100, this life, it can be beautiful. It can be wonderful. But I've come to bring you something else. I've come to bring you eternal life, where this life is just a drop in the bucket to eternity. And whatever you suffer, whatever happens in this life, this is just a passing beginning to an eternal life with me, where you have hope and joy. You have your fulfillment of all your longings, where there's no more tears. There's no more sadness. There's no more death because I swallowed it up forever. That's what Jesus offers. And so he lifts that shroud. He wants to lift that shroud, get that shroud off of you. Heavenly life begins today when you believe in him. Jesus says, unbind him. Take that stuff off. And see, with Jesus, he did that all himself. He got himself out of those clothes, those linens and everything. He walked out of that tomb in the power of the Holy Spirit. He crossed that threshold and back into the light of day. But Jesus, you see, he's the one who he could just, that's what we celebrate in Jesus and Easter, that the grave couldn't hold him. Charles Spurgeon said again, the weakness of God proved itself to be stronger than death and mightier than the grave. That's Jesus. That's Easter. Death couldn't handle him. The grave couldn't hold him. Amen? That's Jesus. The fun thing about Lazarus is how Jesus involves all of his friends. He says, hey, guys, where's the tomb? As if he didn't know. He says, hey, why don't you pull that stone off? As if he couldn't just blow it off by the power of God. And he tells them to unbind him. He involves all the community of faith. And what did they do? They did it. They got to participate. And that's a day that they would never forget. I was there wrenching that stone off. I thought it was going to smell, you know? Well, I stepped forward and I was helping him unbind those straps. I can remember how it felt. Well, I pulled that shroud off of him and cast it to the wind. Well, I was the one who pulled that napkin off of his face. You should have seen his eyes. And they remember that. They remember that with joy because they got to participate. The community of faith receiving the lost back again. See, Jesus wanted them to know that joy. He wanted them to feel that joy. And what I'm telling you is that Jesus wants you to know and feel that joy today in the community of faith. You see, we get to do that with one another as the church. We get to do that as the body of Christ. We get to help one another to remove the napkin of ignorance. What lies have you picked up about God and Jesus and his gospel? Let me help you remove the napkin of ignorance, to remove the straps of unforgiveness, to lift and bear the shroud of death and grief, to carry it together. We get to do that together as the community of faith. And Jesus wants us to know that joy. And what I'm telling you is we feel that joy today. We're all gathered together. Jesus wants us to know that joy all the time, every day. You need that joy. You need the community of faith helping you to keep your eyes open, helping you to lay down the past and walk into the freedom of the future, helping you to bear the weight of death as it rages in this world. You need the community of faith. What I'm saying to you is this. Come back. Not next Easter, not next Christmas. Come back next week because you need the joy of the community of faith unbinding you. The power is Jesus, the joy is the church. But I'm not here to bind you to First Pres, to bind you to me. Or what I want to tell you as we close is this. There's a relationship with Jesus that is possible for you. A relationship with Jesus. He said, believe and you will see the glory of God. Believe. What does that mean? That means you need to put your faith in him. You need to take a chance and trust him. You need to try stepping toward him and see if there's something there. You need to open the door and let him come into your life. You need to believe. You need to trust in Jesus. You can't just sit there arms crossed in that spirit of skepticism, smarter than everybody else around you. You know, that's the spirit of our age. I'm smarter than everyone that came before. Smarter than my grandparents, smarter than my parents, smarter than Jesus. Come on. Open your heart just a little bit. Take a chance in trusting in Jesus Christ. Jesus is not a figure locked in history. He's not a figment of an imagination. He's not an idea. He is the Son of God who came and he died and he rose again and he offers to you freedom and eternal life. Jesus granted us new life. We act like we're still dead. Jesus won for us forgiveness. We act like we're still condemned. We wear the grave clothes of the dead, even after the Lord calls us into new life. What are you wrapped up in? Jesus is present and he's speaking. He's speaking to you. And if you open your heart to him, if you allow him to come into your life, then he is the one who is speaking into your life saying, unbind him, unbind her, set him free, set her free, give her the life that I won. I'll take the sins, you give her the life. I'll take the bondage, you give him the freedom. I'll take the wrath, you give her the grace. Jesus is the one saying, unbind. Turn to him and open your heart. Believe in him. I want to invite you to pray along after me. Listen, Jesus was bound so you could be free. Jesus died so you could live. I want to invite you to pray. It's Easter morning. Open your heart. Open your heart to Jesus. I'll give you the words. Use your voice to pray. Follow after me. Lord Jesus Christ, you set Lazarus free. You set yourself free. You can set me free. Thank you for giving your life. I give you mine. I trust you, Jesus. Show me how to live free and unbound in you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Once again, we want to thank you for listening to this message. And if you live in the Colorado Springs area, we'd love to have you here on Sunday mornings. To find us online, just search First Pres Colorado Springs.